Hey guys, coming up today on Sports Spectrum, Tim Hutson, World Series champion, four-time Major League Baseball All-Star pitcher, 222 career wins, 2,080 career strikeouts, one of only 15 pitchers to have a victory against every team in the big leagues. That is Tim Hutson, a 2018 Atlanta Braves Hall of Fame inductee, an Alabama Sports Hall of Fame inductee. He's an Auburn University grad. And today we're going to sit down in person with Tim Hutson. We had a chance to go down to Auburn, Alabama, and talk to the World Series champion pitcher, Tim Hutson. It's coming up in just a moment here on Sports Spectrum. First, I want to tell you about our friends at Water Mission, a Christian engineering nonprofit committed to providing clean, safe water and God's love. That's most important to people all around the world. You can get involved today and learn more by going to watermission.org/join the team. watermission.org/join the team. I sow into this ministry. I believe in this ministry. I believe in the work that it does. I believe in the mission that it is on to share God's love, to keep Jesus in the conversation while helping people in need. That's Water Mission. Check them out again at watermission.org/join the team. We're also presented today by our Sports Spectrum magazine. Great content, wonderful stories. It is a quarterly magazine. You're talking about faith-filled, family-friendly content. Hard to find that in the sports world. Perfect for the kids. If you have a Jesus-loving sports fan in your life or a kid that loves sports, this is a great way to show a different side of the sports world, of these athletes and coaches who love Jesus. We want to bring Jesus and keep Jesus in the sports conversation. That's what Sports Spectrum is about. You can subscribe to a one-year subscription to our Sports Spectrum magazine right now. We want to give you 15% off as well, which is an exclusive deal for podcast listeners only. 15% off a one-year subscription by using the code PODCAST15, PODCAST15, when you subscribe right now at sportspectrum.com. Subscribe to the Sports Spectrum magazine, put in that code PODCAST15, and save 15% off a one-year subscription to the Sports Spectrum magazine over at sportsspectrum.com. It is great to have former Major League Baseball pitcher, World Series champion Tim Hutson here on Sports Spectrum today. Hi, Tim.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man. It's good to see you. Good to talk to you. We're glad that you're here with us. We're in Auburn at the baseball facility, if you will, and at the stadium, and this is home for you. What kind of memories come up when you're sitting here with me and you're looking over at the stadium? I know we're in the off season right now, but just thinking about, you know, the times when you were pitching here, when you were playing here as a baseball player.
You know what? Obviously, some great memories here. You know, good enough to where, you know, we decided to make Auburn our home. You know, we loved it that much. And, you know, it came full circle. You know, I played here in 96 and 97, coached here for a few years, you know, a couple years ago. And, you know, it's just awesome to be able to come here and, you know, have a great program to come support and great coaching staff to be a part of and to support now. And, it's, you know, I joke around, you know, call it God's country, you know, here around Auburn, you know, so it's pretty special to us.
I hear War Eagle a lot, even in just a short amount of time I've been here the last couple of days. What's that mean to you when you hear that moniker, War Eagle?
A lot of War Eagle, yeah. You know, it's when somebody, you know, gives you a big War Eagle, you know that they understand what Auburn is about. You know, it's, you know, because if you're not an Auburn guy, you know that they're the Auburn Tigers, but everybody says War Eagle, and it's like, what are they confused? What's the mascot? And, you know, so as an Auburn guy, you know that the mascot's a tiger, but, you know, that's kind of our battle cry is War Eagle. Yeah, it was – it's kind of like the, you know, Alabama has the Roll Tide. We have the War Eagle. Mm-hmm. And
I didn't even think you were supposed to mention Alabama and Roll Tide when you're in this area. So I feel like you just said a bad word on the podcast.
I did. I think I might have cursed on the podcast here. So
we can bleep that out.
Yeah.
let's kind of shift a little bit into what this podcast is about. It's the faith aspect. It's Christ. Tell me about Jesus and the life of Tim Hutson. Who is the Lord Jesus to you?
Well, you know, he's the number one. I mean, I have a, you know, my family is you know, as a leader of my family and a wife who really, you know, has a strong faith as well, you know, it's the most important thing for us. You know, I've been blessed to obviously, you know, have a career that is, you know, I know I shouldn't have had the career that I had, and to be able to be blessed with that kind of platform, and to be able to be blessed with a wife who loves me and loves the Lord, and to be able to raise our kids in a way that, you know, makes the Lord happy is the number one thing for me. And, you know, along the way, this long, you know, stretch of my career and where I am to now, it's, you know, I know that there's a lot of opportunities to, you know, to further the kingdom and to make sure that, you know, people understand, you know, what me and my family are about and what we believe in. You know, it's the number one thing, especially, you know, the way things are now in the world and the way things are with young people and,
yeah,
and, you know, young athletes, especially baseball players. There's a lot going on that can get their mind off the Lord. And anytime you can have any kind of positive influence with faith is something that's important. And we try to do that.
Did you have a moment or a time when you said yes? I mean, I think a lot of people grow up Christian and kind of are indoctrinated into it at a young age, but ultimately it's your faith. It's your personal relationship with Jesus. Did you have a moment where you kind of said, yeah, I'm all in here?
Yeah. You know what? It was, for me, it was kind of a gradual thing growing up. You know, I grew up, you know, going to church with my mom and you know, it was one of those things where I, you know, I said I was a Christian and, you know, I got baptized when I was a kid. And then, you know, you go to college, high school and college, and you do things that high school and college kids do. And then, you know, you meet your future wife. And, you know, I think the one thing that for me was, you know, my story is the Lord always put people in my life to keep my moral compass in the right direction. Mm. And whether it was coaches, whether it was teammates, whether it was chaplains, there was always somebody there that was always a reminder of, you know, why you're here and what you're doing, what you're really doing it for. You know, I had some great teammates in my career that, you know, big, strong believers that, you know, that would make sure that, you know, not only me, but other players along, you know, in the clubhouse was, you know, had their mind and their eyes on what was important. And so it was a gradual thing. And then I think, you know, once I got to the big leagues, you know, I was obviously a lot of challenges that come along with, you know, professional baseball and getting to the big leagues and, you know, starting a new family and, you know, having kids. There's a lot of things, you know, shift and change in your life. And, you know, but there's the one thing that's always been a pretty constant is steady rock is the Lord in our family. And, you know, I've been so blessed. My wife is such a steady just believer and just, you know, anytime I'd come home from the field or a game and, you know, had a tough day or, you know, things just, you know, my mind might not be in the most positive places, you know, to see her and to know that, you know, there's, you know, she's got my back and trying to, you know, make our family the strongest, you know, unit possible.
Yeah. We're talking to Tim Hudson here on Sports Spectrum. What was that like when you got to the big leagues to live out your faith? Because we've had a lot of baseball players on this podcast, a lot of Major League Baseball players, and the pressure to perform, the pressure to win, the pressure to stay in the big leagues, especially when you're younger, and still live out your faith, still follow Christ. It can be difficult. What was that like for you, kind of acclimating yourself to being a big league pitcher?
You know, it could be challenging, and a lot of it depends on the environment that your clubhouse has, with whatever team you're on. You know, in Oakland, you know, we had a lot of young guys that weren't necessarily believers in Oakland, but we had a strong chapel guy. Our chapel leader was a really strong man, and he made sure that, you know, he'd encourage guys to come to chapel every Sunday morning before our games. And, you know, we'd have, you know, 15 to 20 guys in there, and probably half of them weren't believers. They were just in there because, you know, they respected our chapel leader, and you know, hopefully little nuggets would get said in their mind with the Lord, and hopefully that seed would grow, you know, yeah, as years passed. And you know, so it was, you know, that was a little bit different for me, just because it was, you know, I was a young guy, and I didn't want to be the young guy that comes in and rocks the boat, you know, when it comes to, you know, everybody come to chapel, but, you know, but it was nice to see, you know, a lot of involvement there. And that was when I really started, you know, my faith started growing because, you know, you have a lot, you know, I had more challenges than I ever had in my life, you know, on the field and off the field and at home. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's, you know, that's when you need the Lord. That's when your faith needs to be strong. And even though there's a lot of challenges, you know, you have to know that, you know, you have something that is always true and is always something that you can hang your hat on. And that was when it really started kind of for me getting stronger. And then, you know, I left there and got traded to Atlanta, and it was kind of the opposite, 180. And it was, you know, an older group, you know, a very mature team, you know, John Smoltz, Chipper Jones, Andrew Jones, Bobby Cox. And, you know, so it was I went from being on a young fraternity frat house type of environment to, you know, an old folks home kind of, I'm just kidding. But, but you know, it was and that was when it really started taking off. 'Cause you know, we had a team full of believers, and, it was very easy to be a Christian in Atlanta. You know, I think that organization is, you know, they do things right. They always have, or always try to. And
sure,
you know, always, you know, the one thing is that Atlanta had always done well is making sure that all the men in that locker room had similar kind of, you know, minds and drive. And I think a lot of that is your faith. You know, I think there's no secret why, you know, some of the best, you know, most steady athletes and performers in whatever field you're in, you know, they have that ground of that
firm
solid
foundation.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. How did you handle success when you were younger? Because you had a lot of success quickly. And those Oakland teams, if people want to go back, I mean, just watch the movie Moneyball, but just go back to those early 2000 teams, you had a lot of success. How are you adapting to that and handling that as a believer at such a young age?
You know what? I surprisingly pretty well, I think, for me and where I came from, you know, where I grew up and, you know, I shouldn't have even gotten drafted, much less being in the big leagues at 24 years old. So it all happened kind of fast for me. And, you know, I think it was, the success was, you know, I always was pretty humble with what I had and the successes that I had. And, you know, just because I knew, I don't know, I had a firm grasp of what it was like to not have anything and to really, you know, to struggle, you know, growing up, you know, financially. And,
sure.
And so I knew what it was to not have anything. And then all of a sudden now you know, you're in the big leagues and you realize your dream. And, but I always knew that, I mean, it was a blessing from the Lord. I mean, it wasn't anything that I had done. I think it was, you know, I understood that I had a, you know, a gift from the Lord to be able to throw a baseball that had some sink to it. And, you know, I was able to realize that. And you know, I knew that, you know, it was a gift from Him. And, you know, that success was something that, you know, honestly, I never really worried about not being successful when I was able to get up there. I think it was, I felt like I was excited that I was finally had the opportunity and that, you know, the Lord was going to let things happen how they were supposed to happen. And, you know, I just thank God that, you know, He trusted me with the platform that He blessed me with. And I was able to do the best that I could with it and, make sure that, you know, people that I had in my life, my family, that we all represented the kingdom.
222 career wins. That's a lot of wins. Can you pick a favorite in terms of the game that you pitched? And maybe it wasn't a win in a game that you pitched, but is there one that stands out?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I mean, you know, my first one was awesome. I loved my last one was great. You know, I think my last win was in Arizona. And, you know, I was 40-year-old, you know, hanging on, probably pitched a little bit longer than I should have been pitching the last year or so. But
sure.
I remember I was talking to, you know, I had in Arizona, I think on the schedule, I had two more games to start. I think I was supposed to pitch in Oakland and then in San Francisco after to end the season. And, you know, I ended up pitching against Arizona, had a good game, pitched well, actually hit a home run. Mm-hmm. And
pitchers can rake.
Yeah, yeah.
Pitchers that rake. Pitchers don't get a chance to do that anymore.
No, too. I know. So that, it was kind of funny. After that, I was like, man, this is a great game to kind of end on. So in our season, we was having a horrible season.
Yeah.
So I remember talking to Bruce Boch, and I was like, Boch, I think this might be it for me. Like, I think I want this to be my last start. And he was like, oh, honey, he goes, your next start is supposed to be in Oakland, and, you know, you hadn't pitched there since they traded you, and, you know, they want to do something for you, so we want you to – you know, they're going to call up Barry Zito to pitch against you. So they kind of had a big thing going behind the scenes that I didn't know about. And so my next start was in Oakland against Barry Zito. And I think by the third inning, the score was like 7-6.
Oof.
It was,
we were both out of the game.
We looked like two old washed up prize fighters out there, you know, just going at it. So it wasn't one of my favorite starts, but it was definitely one of my more memorable.
Yeah, and going against the guy that you were a teammate for so many years earlier in your career. There's so many memories, and I think about that World Series team and that 2014 season, but that Game 7, and you're starting at Game 7. I know it wasn't the kind of Game 7 that you want to have, but yet your team won. Was that kind of bittersweet for you to celebrate an amazing accomplishment, winning a Game 7 on the road in Kansas City, winning a championship, your first ring, but you got yanked a little earlier than you would have liked?
Yeah. No, you know what? I mean, it was – which is, you know, in any kind of championship game, Game 7 or Game 5s, whatever they are, you know, as a player, you understand, especially as a pitcher, you know, you understand that that's the – you know, the whole saying is, you know, a starting pitcher can't win the game in the first inning, but he can lose it in the first inning.
For sure.
Right? So, you know, as a manager, you know, you have to make sure that, you know, you can't allow your starting pitchers to work themselves into jams and out of jams, because if they don't get out of the jam, then the game might be over. And that's a deciding game. So, you know, going into it, you know, in our scouting reports, and I was talking to Bochy, and he just, you know, we both knew that the first jam I got in that, you know, it was going to get the bullpen going and start playing matchups from that point on. And I was kind of joking with him afterwards. I said, well, just make sure you don't leave me out there too long.
You know? Hey, get me out before it gets crazy.
Make sure I don't lose this thing, you know. So, so it was one of those things where I, you know, went out there and I started. And I think the first inning I got out of it, and second inning I gave up a couple hard hit balls and a double and a walk. And, you know, I'm looking around. I'm waiting for the bullpen to get going. I see the bullpen finally start warming up. I was like, man, hurry up, Boch, you know, let's get that thing going down there, you know. So it's, you know, so I knew that. It wasn't bittersweet at all. In fact, it was, I mean, I understood it totally, you know. Yeah. And, you know, at the time, our bullpen, we had one of the best bullpens in the league. You know, I've never been a guy who was, you know, so prideful that, you know, how dare he take me out. You know, it's like, I want to win.
Sure.
You know, and I want my teammates to win with me. And, you know, if that's me being out there, that's fine. If that's not, I'm fine with it, you know. And
and it worked out.
Brought in Jeremy Affelt and one or two other guys, and then Bannison Bumgarner came. When I saw him warming up down in the bullpen, I was like, oh, we're fine.
We got this. Yeah, well, that was one special run that he went on.
Yeah.
And he had a young guy who was a stud. And
it was.
To win it all on the road, and it was tight. I think there was two outs, nobody on, and the Royals get a triple, and then get that last out. Describe that. I think there's a lot of players that never get that chance to run out on the field and get in the dog pile and just – you know, go into the locker room and, you know, get some champagne out and get that ring. Describe that moment. Yeah,
it's unbelievable. I mean, it's, you know, you that's why you play the game. That's why, you know, you have grown men out there on the field, you know, playing a young man, a kid sport, you know, for a living, and playing it with enthusiasm. And, you know, that's your ultimate goal. And, you know, early in my career, when I was in Oakland, even Atlanta, you know, we'd get into playoffs and we'd lose in the first round. And, you know, early on I was like, I'll get to the World Series one time at some point in my career, thinking that it wouldn't take 17 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, so finally we ended up having a chance to get to the World Series. And, you know, it was very emotional. So many emotions and feelings run through your body. But I honestly, to be honest with you, the winning the World Series was unbelievable and kind of like, you know, just such a blessing. But, you know, beating the Cardinals to go to the World Series for me was probably the most emotional game I've ever been a part of, just because, you know, you have a chance to play for the whole thing. you know, so many times we've been in the playoffs and we would lose before, you know, in the first round, or and not even have a chance to get a ring. But winning the National League and going and knowing that you're competing with the American League champion to win a World Series was, I mean, it was just, I don't know, it was, I haven't cried much on the field, but it was, you know, that game right there, I was all choked up. And, you know, looking back on it, my kids, I remember my kids will talk about it now. They're like, "Dad, you were crying. It was so uncomfortable. It was so uncomfortable and awkward." I was like, I was just happy.
YouTube doesn't always do us service, right? They can just go back and watch every game.
It was just happiness, you know. It was like, man, finally get a chance to play for the whole thing. And, and you know, I couldn't have been with a group of better teammates. I mean, they were awesome to you know, to take that field with and to, you know, to get that last out. It was unreal. And winning on the road was pretty cool. You know, it's funny, everybody thinks that when you win a World Series, you know, you celebrate in the locker room, and then it's, you know, you have a big old celebration all night. You know, you celebrate in the locker room for about an hour.
Then you go home.
Then you get on a plane and go back to,
That's right, you're on the road, so you just get on a plane.
We had to fly back to San Francisco. And,
yeah,
you know, it's funny, I had one more year left on my contract after that. And flying back to San Francisco, flying from Kansas City to San Francisco, I retired and unretired like five times in my head. I was like, I think I need to retire, you know, because I knew that, you know, I was older and it wasn't as easy as it used to be. And
sure,
I was ready to be home with my family. And, you know, my kids were at the age where I felt like I was starting to, you know, not be around them during the times where I needed it a lot. And, but then, you know, it's, I was talking to Kim, and I was like, I think I want to be done. And she was like, I don't think you should, I think you need to play one more year and just really savor it, you know, and just really just take it all in. And you know, because if you know it's your last year doing something, you know, you're very aware of the moments on the field. You're very aware of the experiences you have with your family and with your kids. And, you know, I was able to take my kids to the, you know, on the road, every road trip that last year that I had. And, just knowing that that's it, it's one of those things where you can really appreciate it and take in those moments.
I want to ask you about one more game, and I wasn't planning on this, but when I was doing my research, I went and looked, and I saw this, and I was like, this is a unique game, I think, that you pitched in and did really well in, October 11th, 2001. So it's 1 month after 9/11 happens. It's in Yankee Stadium. It's game two ALDS. You pitch 8 shutout innings. You get the win 2-0 over that mighty Yankees dynasty team. But this 1 month after 9/11, can you describe kind of being in New York that day, obviously pitching so beautifully, but just the experience of being in New York and pitching in that atmosphere about a month after everything took place?
It was heavy. It was heavy. It was a heavy time for the whole country, especially in New York. So it was you know, I just remember going, you know, flying into New York, and just, it was just, you couldn't believe something like that would happen, you know, here.
Of course.
And when it did, it was just like, man, what in the world's going on? But you know what, going into to that game, you know, there was so much emotion in the stands, and just, you could just tell the stadium was just on edge to, I mean, explode at any moment. And they had a really good team was playing, and you know, I remember, you know, Mark Mulder pitched the first game, and we beat him.
Yeah.
And, you know, nobody ever thought that we'd go in there and win one game, much less win two. So Mulder wins game one, and I remember I was so – that was one game where I had to really be aware of my nerves and just breathing, and just because there was so much emotion going on everywhere in the world, much less on the baseball, you know, in the playoffs of the Major League Baseball game. And, you know, end up going out there and having a good game and you know, winning, going to Oakland up 2-0, thinking, okay, we got this. We just got to win one more game, you know. And
didn't happen.
No, unfortunately. No. Yeah, Derek Jeter flip play was game three, and they beat us. And then they beat us pretty good in game four. And then once we had to go back to game five in New York, I was like, man, I really didn't want to go back to New York and play in Yankee Stadium for a deciding game five. And, you know, it was, you know, it was meant to be the way it happened. You know, they
yeah, no
was,
regrets or anything. It was dramatic. I think just the experience of being a part of that. You know,
it was amazing. You know, it was funny. But getting back to warming up for that game, I won't ever forget this. We were, I was warming up, and honestly, I was having a pretty bad bullpen warming up for this game, and the Yankee fans were letting me have it. You know, as if I didn't need any more nerves going on. Then all of a sudden, something happened. I don't know what happened, but I went to make a pitch, and it slipped out, and I threw it into the stands.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. And this was like two or three pitches before the anthem. And the pitching coach is looking at me like, are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. Just give me a second.
Just giving the fan in the stands a souvenir, yeah, no big deal.
Yeah. So then this was a funny moment. I tell this, you know, pretty often. We get ready for the anthem. I'm sitting there, you know, and you know how some – stadiums, you know, they'll have the a bald eagle fly, you know, like they do here at Plainsman Park.
Yep.
It was, they had the eagle fly at Yankee Stadium right before the, you know, right before the anthem, and they had a big, you know, announcement. And I'm sitting there with my hat off, and that was when I first started shaving my head bald, right? All of a sudden I'm sitting there, and the guy was like, yeah, you know, we're, you know, for the anthem, stand up, they're going to have a, you know, a bald eagle fly to the home plate. And I remember hearing a couple of Yankee fans, bald eagle? Honey, is that you? Are you flying off to? Because I was like, oh my god, I was like, this is unbelievable.
Does that help or does that hurt?
It kind of made me laugh a little bit, so it kind of cut through the tension some. So I was like, it kind of gave me a little bit of comic relief, you know, because the guy was like pretty clever, and I was like, okay, that's pretty good.
Oh, that is very good.
I ended up throwing a couple more warm up pitches and then going out there and you know. You ask most big league pitchers, you know, anytime they have a bad bullpen, usually they pitch pretty good in the games for whatever reason.
So interesting to think about. Where's your World Series ring? Where do you keep it?
It's at home in my, locked up in a safe.
Do you break it out?
You know what? I don't wear it that often. You know, I've never been a big jewelry guy.
Yeah.
And honestly, it don't fit. Who wins a World Series and gets the wrong size for their?
Oh my gosh! It's to happen
big.
To you.
It's too big. Yeah, it's too big, right? So they gave the rings out in San Francisco, a ring ceremony day, and when they gave us our rings, they gave us a sign, a baseball sign, for us to throw it to a fan, right? Well, I get the ball, put my ring on, go to throw the ball to a fan, and almost threw my ring off my finger.
Oh my gosh. Right, but as you
like,
get it.
Yeah, like I just caught it on my last knuckle as I'm throwing the ball.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my gosh, my ring don't fit.
Well, you treat it like a trophy, so, you know, put it on display every so often.
Or I could maybe put some tape on it like a high school girl.
Yes, I was just going to say that. That reminds me, because we're close in the same age. Those high school girls, they put the yarn on it and make that thing fit.
That's what I was going to do.
Whatever works. Whatever works. All right, my last question for you. This has been a lot of fun in this conversation. We'll switch it back to faith a little bit. In the life that you're living now today, what's the great lesson that God has been teaching you, God has been showing you, when you think about all of the cool things you've gotten to do in your life, but where you are now, you know, a couple years before 50 here. I just turned 50 about, you know, a couple months ago. Where are you as far as when you think about the lessons that God has been teaching you?
You know, I think something that I've always struggled with is patience and just being patient with things. You know, you always want to, you know, do things and get it done right then and you know, as fast as you can and right now. And you know, I think that's a fruit of the Spirit that I need some work with. And I think especially since I've retired. And been able to spend more time with my kids, and you know, it's just, you know, patient, sit back, enjoy it, you know, and just you know, appreciate the blessings in life, and the, you know, the great family that I've been blessed with, and the great community, and just be patient and not try to hurry through things, you know, just, you know, stop and smell the roses, so to speak. And but patience is something that, you know, I've always kind of struggled with, you know, and most everything else I feel like I'm, you know, okay with, but except for patience. You know, my son always, he gets on to me all the time, you know, when I start becoming impatient. He's like, Dad, you know, won't you just, it's okay. I'm like,
well, just imagine if we were kids growing up in the 80s with social media like these kids now. There is no patience. now with the young people. So everything's got to be so quick right now. Exactly. Got to have it.
Yeah.
So I guess we're fortunate that way.
Yeah, you know, and I've been, and my wife is pretty patient. My kids are pretty patient. So it's, you know, they balance me out a little bit, yeah. So to speak.
Well, it's a fruit of the spirit. It means something we can always strive towards and ask the Lord for help in.
That's right.
That's good. Yeah. He is Tim Hudson, 222 career wins, 2,080 career strikeouts, one of only 15 pitchers to have a victory against every team in the big leagues. He is Tim Hudson. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate the conversation.
Thanks for having me.
And I was very grateful and thankful to have had Tim Hudson join us here today on Sports Spectrum. Tim was just fantastic. Got a chance to talk to him before and after the interview, spent some time with him, and he is humble. He is quiet, and he is just a really great guy. And so it was wonderful to spend time with him and walk around with him, and certainly grateful that he shared a little bit of his story on Sports Spectrum. Anytime we can talk to someone in person, I'm a yes. I really mean that. It's hard sometimes to go all the way to Auburn, Alabama, and sit down and talk to someone and do an interview, but it just kind of fell into place that we were going to be there and Tim Hudson was going to be there. And so we sat down and recorded a conversation that I thought was really interesting. Lots of interesting tidbits, not only about his faith, but just some fun stories about being a big league pitcher. And how about 1 month after 9/11, way back in 2001, when Tim was with the Oakland A's and pitching in that game against the Yankees in the postseason. So good stories there. Love that he is standing firm for Christ, and just thankful that he joined us here today on the show. We thank you as well for tuning in to Sports Spectrum. That means so much when you click play, when you subscribe, when you follow us, when you engage in anything that we're doing with Sports Spectrum. We appreciate it, and it means the world to us. The best way really to be an ambassador for our ministry is to tell someone about Sports Spectrum. Let them know that we exist. Let them know that this type of content is out there and available. I'm still 7 years into this ministry of Sports Spectrum, still hearing from people who tell me, I didn't know you guys existed. And I love hearing that because it's always great when new people discover what you're doing. But I also get a little sad. Like, we've been cranking at this for 7 years with Sports Spectrum's podcast. What took you so long, right? But I know people are still discovering it, and that means so much to us as we continue to bring these stories to you on the intersection of sports and faith. We thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next time here on Sports Spectrum, and I hope you all have a great rest of your day.